A United Nations team is in Baghdad today to begin planning for elections. UN technical experts will make recommendations on who votes and how. Those are just some of the questions facing Iraqi officials as they near the June 30th deadline for the return of sovereignty. NPR's Steve Inskeep is in Baghdad. How's the planning for elections going?
Well, today, Bob, the UN team, this team of technical advisors, met with members of Iraq's governing council here in Baghdad. A person who's been in that meeting said it's been a cordial session with a lot of questions on both sides, really basic questions. Who gets to register here? How do they register? Will they each vote for one member of parliament from a particular district, or will they vote from long lists of candidates of whom many might be elected? The UN people are discussing what worked or didn't work in places like Kosovo, where they've set up new democratic governments. So we have this interim constitution, which calls for elections in December or January, but left the details in the air, and this is one of the first steps in trying to make those elections real.
Could those details have a larger political meaning?
Oh, they could, at least to some of the people involved. There are very large groups here jockeying for political power, and the question of how people vote could affect how many seats each party gets in Iraq's new parliament. We're told the discussions are very reasonable so far, but we do know that on other issues, different groups have been very passionate about the details. The United Nations has been criticized. The interim constitution that established these elections has been criticized, and there are a lot of unanswered questions before you even get to elections. There's no formal announcement yet, for example, on what kind of unelected government takes over after June 30 and is actually supposed to manage the country until the elections can be held 6 or 7 months later.
And while Iraqis are seeking greater political freedom, the Americans shut down a Baghdad newspaper.
Yeah, which they've done before. This particular paper is called Al-Hawza. It represents Muqtada Sadr, who is a Shiite Muslim leader who's been among the most uncooperative with the United States. Now, the U.S. says this paper has incited violence against U.S. troops and Iraqi citizens who cooperate with them, so the paper's offices were padlocked, we're told, for 60 days, and that prompted a protest in the streets of Baghdad. This paper, according to U.S. officials, claimed that some suicide bombings in Iraq weren't actually suicide bombings at all, that in reality American helicopters were firing on Iraqi citizens. That's become a very popular theme on the streets here. It clearly made U.S. officials unhappy, but demonstrators who favor the paper are saying, hey, they should have freedom of the press. There's supposed to be democracy in this country. That's what they're saying.
Is it odd that Iraqis are discussing political freedom when, in a sense, their country is still at war?
It does give you a sense of the stakes here if this transfer of power fails in some way, Bob. Over the weekend, there was more shooting in Mosul in northern Iraq, which has been one of the most violent cities in Iraq in the last few days and weeks. A British citizen and a Canadian citizen were killed. These were people who were doing security, we're told, for General Electric, which is trying to rebuild the electricity grid here. There was also an assassination attempt against Iraq's Minister of Public Works, Nisreen Berwari. It did not succeed in that the minister survived, but her driver was killed, a bodyguard was killed, a couple of other people were injured. There have been a lot of drive-by shootings like this in and around Mosul. Although U.S. forces have reported a success in Mosul, a carload of men yesterday fired on an American patrol. Later in that day, American military police located what they believed to be the same car. They engaged in a firefight with the men inside. They killed all four of them. They recovered rifles and rocket-propelled grenades, and that was an unusual incident simply because the attackers were actually found. Often these attacks take place and you never find out who's responsible. No one ever claims responsibility or is ever arrested. So you do have this situation now, Bob, where depending on the day and the hour and the location, we're veering between these very reasonable-sounding plans for building a civil society in Iraq and fears of civil conflict and greater violence if things don't work out.
NPR's Steve Inskeep in Baghdad.